join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Faith Friends by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
John, the first chapter, verse 40 through 42, it says, this is talking about the early introductions of the disciples meeting Jesus. It says, and one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon's, Peter's brother. Okay, so used to follow John, one of John's disciples. And then he hears Jesus speak, and that was Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother. And he first, soon as he heard Jesus and heard Jesus and got connected to Jesus, he first found his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. We found the Messiah. We now know who the Savior is. And he did what? He brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Mm-hmm. Now, a couple things stand out to me here. Mm-hmm. Is that we go on to know more about Peter than we ever knew about Andrew.
Right, right.
Peter, if you allow me to say, became one of the primary pillars mm-hmm. of the church. Mm-hmm. Our Catholic brothers and sisters say that Peter became the first pope.
Right.
Okay. We know he was definitely the primary leader of the church at Jerusalem. And God had all that in mind, even though Andrew met Jesus first. Sometimes you don't know what God's plan is that he has for your brother or for your sister or for your friend that you need to just bring them to Jesus. I think about the, John the fourth chapter where Jesus meets the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. And after he meets her and he ministers to her and talks to her and prophesies to her and tells her about her stuff, the Bible says, she says, come see a man who has told me whatsoever I have ever done. And the whole city ran right. and followed her to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then they said, listen, now we follow him. We have not because of what you said, but we've seen for ourselves.
Right.
This is the Messiah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never know what God's going to do with people if you would just bring them to Jesus.
Ooh.
And sometimes we're more about people being connected to us than we are about them being connected to Jesus.
That's
and yeah, that may make you feel good and make you feel that real close. But God may have a bigger plan for their life than beyond you.
Right.
Let me go a little deeper here.
Right.
I have seen people who start romantic relationships mm-hmm. with somebody who's not saved. And it was never supposed to be a romantic relationship.
Right.
Okay, let me go deeper. Then they end up sleeping with them. And even messing up their witness with them.
Right.
And what they were supposed to do is bring them to the church and bring them to Jesus, not sleep with them.
Yeah.
Come on now. Don't you go looking for somebody else now on Facebook. Sit right here and listen. If you hollering right now, you're the one. I don't even know. Okay? And so sometimes we have to ask God, what's the purpose of this relationship? Sometimes I've asked that. You know, you said you don't know what God's doing. Mm-hmm. And you may ask God, okay, now God, what are you doing with this relationship?
Right.
Okay, because you may think it's one thing, right. And you may think it's supposed to be a peer and it's supposed to be a mentor.
Right. And so you have to really, when you get into relationships, you really need to be seeking God. And as you're saying, you should be praying and say, God, what type of relationship you're looking to form here? How should I navigate in this relationship? Sometimes we go into relationships as believers very soulishly.
And even needy.
I'm so glad you said that because that was on my mind.
Yeah.
It's like because you may be lonely and you need someone and you want someone to meet that need that's soulish. You know, and sometimes we think, it's just like, I want somebody to laugh with me. I just want somebody that I can just chill with. I just want someone who I want just to be myself. But when you are in a situation, what you may not need is to be yourself.
You know, because they may not be able to handle yourself.
Right.
We can handle yourself.
Right.
Jesus can handle yourself.
Right.
But that unbeliever who doesn't know the Lord,
right.
You can become a stumbling block to them by just being yourself.
So you have to really have to have a consciousness as you enter into every relationship with the individual, especially if they are unbeliever, because God may be using you to bring them closer to Him. And let's say they are a believer, but you're a person who had in purpose or have a calling, he still could be, and they are another believer. He could still be using them to bring them closer to Him. You know, and so we have to govern ourselves and walk circumspectly and realizing that there might be a purpose, a calling. And because I hear this all the time, people who love the Lord and with the Lord and they meet someone in church and both believers, but they stop going to church because how this person governed themselves with them. And you weren't really walking circumspectly or being led by God because not realizing that this relationship is not really just all about me. Mm. It's what God's saying.
Let me go a little deeper here. We've also seen people who they have this level of influence over people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so they bring them to the church. They get saved. And God may have a particular plan for them, but they're concerned that the person they brought is getting noticed more than they are. Mm-hmm. Okay? And now they don't want them to get connected to people or to leadership or even to the pastor.
Right.
Because they want to keep their influence over them.
Yeah. Yeah.
They want to manipulate them and control them. And sometimes, and they want to have, I'm going to go deeper. They want to have their own little church within the church. I know the pastor said, but.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing that we've even told married couples. Sometimes we have a couple brothers have told me that I told them this in the church. One of them recently reminded me. You know, they're arguing with their wife. I told them, pastor said such and such. The word said such and such. I said, will you be their husband and let me be their pastor?
That's good.
Okay. Will you be there? You know, you're going to remind them what I said. Pastor talked. So. I said, will you be the husband and let me be the pastor? Your role here, let allow me to be the pastor. There's an anointing that God has given me to speak things into their life. They may not hear from you. That don't mean they don't love you. It just means you're the husband. Just means you're the wife.
Right.
Okay, right. And God may be setting their teacher before them to help them be a better husband to you,
right.
To help them be a better wife to you.
And sometimes you got to be okay with the fact that God used you to be a bridge to their next, you know, and understanding that meaning that I can't be the one-stop place for this individual. Maybe at this point in time, God used you to mentor them, to pray for them, what have you, and then as they grow, God's bringing them to a whole nother place, and you got to release your hands off of them and stop wanting to be that one who's before them, to be that influencer in their lives. But God influenced, you know, you were the influence to bring them to this particular place in Him. And then you're saying, you know, I'm going to keep hearing, we need indicators to determine if you have a manipulative friend. You know, because this thing, I know this is bothering you, actually.
That's right.
You know, and so, you know, there's indicators. Because, you know, these people may be cool and all that kind of stuff. But on the real deal is they just manipulative. You know, and certain, there's certain indicators to show you that these individuals are manipulative in your life when they constantly, you know, trying to work something or say something to keep you in a particular level. Mm-hmm. Or you grow and you have access to individuals. I encountered this personally myself, that at one point the person comes into the ministry, they don't may not have any relationship with us, and then they develop a relationship with us. But the person who brought them to the church still used them as the, you got to come to me to get the 411 on Bishop or Pastor Marsha. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, how? Why would you get the 411?
We're their pastor as much as we're your pastor,
right? And you have a conversation, you have access to me, and you talk to me. But they have placed themselves in your life that you have to. They become your filter regarding everything pertaining to the Baileys. That's manipulation at the highest degree. Mm-hmm. And so when you have individuals who will not set you free, turn you loose to develop your own relationship Ooh. With your pastor, you need to lose that friend. They are in and they involve in manipulation, which the word says is the sin of witchcraft. Cut them loose.
Now, I know we're going deep here, but we're still in the word here. This is based upon John 1 and 40. Does your friend bring you closer to the Lord or further from the Lord? Because the Bible says here that Andrew first saw Jesus. But he went and got his brother. He went and got his brother, Peter. And not only that, God gave Jesus a word of revelation and prophecy about Peter.
Wow.
Oh, Lord. The Bible don't say nothing about, hey, wait, I saw you first. You don't have a word for me?
What about me?
What about me?
Mm-mm.
You know, wow. Andrew had to understand, God has a plan for my brother. And I'm just glad that he used me as an instrument to be part of the plan of what he has for him. Again, we go on, we hear more about Peter than we ever heard about Andrew.
Got to be okay with that.
You know, it reminds me years ago, I remember one of our elders who oversees our new members class, he came, he said, Pastor, we have a group that came to the members class. He said he's apostle so-and-so, and these are the people, all members of his church. And I said, tell him to keep moving. I said, just tell apostle so-and-so, just take his group and go on somewhere else. Because I knew that was going to be a problem. First of all, if you come into, I'm just going to help set some order here. First of all, if you come to somebody else's church and you submitted there supposedly as a member under that pastor, you not apostle nothing up in here. You member.
Right.
Now, God may have that plan for you in the future, but you have to come in, whatever gifting, whatever calling, when you come into a church, I'm sending some order here. You submit that gift, that calling under that pastor.
Right.
And a lot of people, they're not willing to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's why you got folks 70 years old running from church to church to church, because they're not willing to submit to anybody.
Yeah. It takes a whole lot of humility.
And so I told him, I said, tell Apostle so-and-so to take a little group and just keep on moving, because I knew that was going to be a problem.
Right.
Because if he came here, mm-hmm. then if we're the pastor, then we need to be able to pastor those people apart from him.
Right.
Watch out for these manipulative friends who don't allow you to be who God's called you to be and connect you with who God told you to connect with.
Right. That's so good.
Andrew brought Peter to Jesus.
Yes, he did.
And Peter had a prophetic word. Rather, Jesus had a prophetic word. He beheld him and said, you are Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is by interpretation of stone. That's when he first saw him. Later on, he confirms that word, right?
Right, right.
Yes. When he asked, who do men say that I am? Yeah. And then he said, behold, thou art Peter.
The Christ, the Son of the living God.
Thou art the Christ. And then he said, flesh and not, and I say unto you that thou art Peter. Right. Then he confirms that word later about the anchor, about the pillar that God would have him to be. But it all started because his brother brought him to Jesus.
Wow.
Let's go a little closer here. Psalm 119 and 63. About watching your companionship, watching your friendships. Make sure they bring you to Jesus and bring you closer to the Lord and not further away. Psalm 119, 63 says, this is David speaking. He said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. David said, I choose my friends carefully.
Yeah.
And companion is not just an associate.
Right.
A companion is somebody you run with.
Mm-hmm. Keep company with.
Somebody you keep company with. You know, we even talk about that even in terms of marriage relationship, that you meet and y'all become boyfriend and girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Okay? Boyfriend and girlfriend are companions. Mm-hmm. You go to the movies together. Right. You go out together. You go shopping together. Even when men don't want to go shopping, they go shopping with their because they're the boyfriend. And right. they want to know, baby, wherever you go, I take you wherever you want to go. Mm-hmm. Okay? And then we get married.
You're like, okay.
I can't stand shopping.
I don't have time for that. I don't want to do
go
that.
Go by yourself. Okay? Then the girlfriend used to go to the game with him. I never did like basketball.
Don't like going.
I never did. Now they stopped being companions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you should never, this y'all
so
getting
good.
A lot of good stuff here today. You should never stop being companions. Your title has changed, but it should just evolve to another level.
Right.
Now we only was companions. Before you was only companions at the movie. Mm-hmm. Now a companion make our own movie.
That's a wrong image.
Yeah, you understand what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying.
You understand what I'm saying. But the companionship doesn't stop. Come on, stay with me.
I lost the revelation. I lost it.
Stay with me here.
Pray for me.
Okay? A companion. He says, I'm a companion of all them that fear thee. Watch who you hang out with. It's one thing to have associates. Come on. I call some of these relationships, I call incidental relationships. You know, everybody who you work with, you don't necessarily hang out with.
Right.
Okay?
Oh, my God. This is so good.
I'm going to go a little deeper. Everybody you go to church with, you don't necessarily hang out with.
Check it out.
I see, we're a large church. Because mm-hmm. we're a large church, there's people at all different levels. Okay? There's people been saved 10 years, been saved 10 minutes, and backslid 5 times in 10 minutes. Okay, y'all, that's supposed to be funny. Okay, people are all different levels, and we've heard people,
right.
Well, I had my child over their house, and I just couldn't believe it. We go to the same church, and such and such happened over their house. I'm like, who told you to have your child over their house?
Right.
You don't know them like that.
Right.
Bring them to this house together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You need to know each other a little bit deeper
right.
before we hang out at each other's residences.
Yes. And you need to know who your friends are. And, and I see that all the time. It's like, one person, they could be one way with you. But then you start seeing, on Facebook, they selfieing together. They doing stuff. I mean, they doing stuff together on Facebook. With the duck lips and with the
butt out.
The toot butt.
The toot butt. Okay.
They tooting it out. I'm calling it right back now. Okay.
All right.
And so you're like, hold up, wait a minute. You get down like that, but with you, they a whole nother person. So I realized, but that's who you are. That's an aspect of you. And so since that is the case, I love you, but I got to make some adjustments with you because you kind of reckless over here.
Yeah.
And when a person is reckless over there, they're going to be reckless over here. That's just how I operate.
I was listening on the radio the other day, and I heard it was on Urban View, and they had a guest on there. J. Anthony Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all have heard J. Anthony. He used to be on the Tom Joyner show, now on the Steve Harvey show, where he was also a guest on Urban View. And I was laughing to myself because I met J. Anthony Brown one time here. He's originally from this area, went to Denmark, mm-hmm. went to Denmark College or Tech, then went to Denmark Tech. And we were together at I believe he sponsored it. It was a childhood diabetes golf tournament. And so they want to take pictures, and so he and I were taking pictures together, and I made a joke. I said, I got to be careful taking a picture with you. He said, this might mess up my reputation. And we laughed about it. He said, and you a preacher. He said, I got to be careful taking a picture with you because this might mess up my reputation. And we both laughed about that. Can I tell you, you got to be careful who you take pictures with. Because it might mess up your reputation. Some of y'all take pictures with everybody.
Everybody. I'm like, what is wrong? I don't know.
And it may not be a big deal. It may not be a big deal, but it's too much to explain.
Too much to explain. Especially
now, y'all know good and well, if y'all saw me taking a picture and had seven strippers around me. And I'm just taking a picture.
That would be a problem.
And my caption was, met these strippers and I shared the word with them.
Uh-huh.
Y'all know that's just too much to explain.
Right.
Well, where you meet them at?
Right.
How y'all get together in this picture? What were you thinking about taking a picture with a bunch of strippers?
Right.
Okay, it's going to generate a whole lot of questions. Be careful about your companionships.
This has been power-packed with so much stuff.
So that scripture, again, Psalm 119, 163. I'm a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy commandments. Let's end with this point, okay? During times of crisis and trouble and desperation, it's really important who your friends are. It's really important who your friends are. During this, and some of us, we found out during this
pandemic
who our friends are. And we also found out who they aren't.
Right.
And hopefully we also saw what was lacking or missing in our lives.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
Because some people, they may want to be seen with you, hang out with you as long as you go in the restaurant, but they don't have the time with you now because you're not paying for the meal.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Okay. And you found out, one of the scriptures, maybe I made it under another point, but I want to read it now. Proverbs, we'll come back to it later. Proverbs 17 and 17. Put that scripture. Proverbs 17 and 17. It says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity.
Right.
So I used to hear people always talk about in the church, I was coming up, these sometimey friends.
Right.
A sometimey friend is not a friend. Because the Bible definition of a friend is that a friend loveth at all times.
Right.
You know, I remember when I was a child in school, you know, certain words, they used to give you ways to remember how to spell it. You couldn't remember whether you put I before E, but now you know the principle is that you put I before E except after C.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, the way I remember to spell friend is that a friend is with you to the end. At the end of friend is E-N-D.
Yeah.
A friend goes with you to the end.
That's good.
And sometimes we found that. Can I tell you, here's the other good thing. Some of y'all, don't be upset. Thank God that he revealed it for what it is before you were dependent upon them for something more severe or in a deeper crisis. And come on now. It's innocent to find out that you out on a boat with your friend and you thought your friend could swim. So you figure y'all was in trouble, you can help them. He said, I can't swim. Thank God you found out in shallow water.
Yes, sir.
Thank God you found out in shallow water that your friend really can't swim and been lying to you the whole time. Because so sometimes, I believe this is also during this pandemic, is a time for us to make adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
Make adjustments in relationships.
Right.
Make adjustments in your priorities. Know who's for you. Who's against you. Know who's bringing you closer to the Lord. Who's bringing you further from the Lord. Know who's safe. Know who's unsafe. At the Global Leadership Summit, one of the speakers made a statement, and it really resonated with me. He said, sometimes people love you while they love you. Some people only love you while they love you. You gotta know that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really do believe, when somebody really loves you, love don't end. The nature of the relationship, man, I'm grieved that this didn't go on the way I thought, but in nature, relationship changed. But if I love you, I love you.
Right.
Because love is of God, and God is a permanent God. Come on now. I don't say you love me today and hate me tomorrow because you got offended with me. Oh, come on now. You never really loved me anyway. Because one thing that we really say when we counsel couples, getting ready to get married, is that you need to understand that this love got to be based upon the love of God more than your sexual attraction.
Right.
Because
that will
leave.
Yes, it will.
Okay, it got to be beyond the finances. Because real love keeps you going through all the obstacles.
Right.
The love of God says, no, I got to keep going. We going to work through this.
Mm-hmm.
But come on, this is to help somebody else too. I know we got some real practical and deep things to make you think. But when you see people who are quickly getting offended and dropping people and cutting off everybody because they got offended, you need to just brace yourself because you're next. You're next in line. Okay? We see people just cut off people. I don't have nothing to do with them. I don't ever want to see them again. You will be next. I have watched it over the years, even as a pastor.
Yeah.
And where I try to encourage people, come on, you can't cut your family off like that. Right. I know you don't like what your sister did, but they're still your sister.
Right.
No, I'm done with them. And then it wasn't sure, wasn't long before they were done with me too. Okay? So you got
wow.
you have to watch that. Wow. Sometimes people are giving you glimpses
of who they are.
And sometimes we don't pay any attention because we're not the victims of
right.
it.
But
you gotta watch how people treat other people.
Right. And they're showing you and believe what you see.
Bishop Jake said something, and I'm really done to it. Bishop Jake says, he says, of course, you know, because of who he is and the kingdom and body of Christ and in ministry, he says, people invite me. He said, oh, they will treat me like a king. He said, Bishop, and honored me, and Catholic say genuflecting and all that, bowing down and all this stuff, and treat me nice. He said, but I watch how they treat me. He said, because they need me. They want me. He said, I watch how they treat the armor bearers. He said, I watch how they treat the parking attendant.
What kind of friends do you have? Are they friends who bring you closer to Jesus or take you farther away? We all need faith friends who will walk with us through life, the good times and bad. In this series, Bishop Herbert Bailey and Dr. Marcia Bailey take time to explain what faith friends look like and why we need them in our lives. To order this series, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rdci.info. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.